Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Mary Kay Cabot. She covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. So, Mary Kay, we watched the first of the 3 days of mini camp practices today in Berea. And I want to start with just the big picture take on what you saw, because Rob Chudzinski made it clear afterward this is about review, because all the offense and defense has been installed. So seeing what these players have retained and how they look performing it, what was your sense of that?
You know what? They are practicing so fast and at such a great clip. And each practice, it looks sharper and sharper to me. That's what I've been impressed with the most is, you know, especially in the passing game, I think it's really starting to come along. I remember when Rob Chudzinski installed his offense here back in 2007, and it did not look like this at this point in the preseason. So I've been very impressed with a lot of completions. I thought Brandon looked sharp today, especially on the deep ball. He's showing a good accuracy with Josh Gordon and some of the other guys. So I think it's coming along really well.
Yeah, I got that same sense, too, that the pace is pretty good, that the corrections seem minimal. And we heard last week Norv Turner yelling at some guys on the offensive side. And he still had some good, sharp commentary along the way. But I put that more in the category of just good, detailed coaching reinforcement and not so much, hey, you guys are screwing up. We got to keep doing this over and over again.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know what? They don't have a whole lot of time. I mean, they need to cram this stuff into these guys. They can't have a lot of mistakes. They need them to get up to speed as fast as possible. So they're going to be hard on them. They're going to throw a lot at them. They're going to expect great things out of them as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Now, Trent Richardson didn't practice, and he's not going to practice tomorrow or Thursday. Rob Chudzinski basically saying, you know, it's a cautious approach to his deal with the lower leg, the shin strain that he was dealing with, and not much more than that. I know there were some reports dealing with the fact that it was the idea of fearing something worse or that it could get worse if he participates. But you heard Rob Chudzinski say the expectation is that Richardson will be ready for the start of training camp at the end of July.
Yeah, that, like I said, there was a report out there, you know, on ESPN Cleveland that there was a fear that it could be a stress fracture and that he might miss the beginning or that he would miss the beginning of training camp. But we were very specific when we questioned Chud on that today. He said he will be ready for the start of camp on July 26th. As far as the stress fracture thing, he basically said it's a muscle strain. We don't want the muscle strain to get any worse. But of course, a muscle strain doesn't turn into a stress fracture. So I think he was pretty careful to build this as a muscle strain. So, you know, from everything that I can tell, it's still precautionary. They still have every hope and expectation that he will be ready for training.
I mean, it's never comforting when a running back who dealt with his injuries as much as Richardson did last year isn't doing anything this time of year. We get that part of it. At the same time, Mary Kay, if I'm seeing him back in training camp and mostly involved in those drills, as much as you want a back involved and exposed to the contact and such in that, I'm okay with that. If it's another case of being a prolonged departure from work and he doesn't get a chance really to prepare for his second season in any meaningful way, then I guess I'd be more concerned with that. But right now, I don't feel a great sense of worry.
No, I don't think there's anything to be overly concerned about at this point. It's like you said, as long as he can get back on the field pretty early on in training camp, you know, hopefully for everyone right from the start, he really shouldn't miss a beat. He's around for everything. He's going to the meetings. He's very involved, and I know he's got a really good workout plan that he will be starting at the end of this month down in Pensacola, Florida, where he will also have an opportunity to meet from time to time with Dr. James Andrews, who has performed his surgeries and keeps a very, very close eye on Trent Richardson. So there's a lot of people involved in this, and I think for the most part, they're trying to get this young man healthy for the season.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was good to see Jordan Cameron out there. He had come back toward the end of OTAs from a groin deal that he was dealing with, and then he was out there today. And it looked like he was working, I think, mostly at full speed, but it seemed, too, like Chud was mentioning, you know, getting him back there and getting him in shape to get involved with workouts on a at least on a basis where he can catch some passes, maybe not push him too hard, because again, you're looking at a guy who's vital to wherever this team's going to go at the tight end position.
He really is. I mean, they targeted him very early on as their starting tight end. They are counting on him. You know, they brought on a couple of other good tight ends, but he is their man, and he's going to be very, very involved in the passing game. They need him to be healthy, so they're going to be a little extra cautious with him as well. I think right now they recognize that maybe they don't have all the depth that they hope to have over the next 2 or 3 years, so they have to keep these guys really healthy and fresh. And everyone knows that a couple of key injuries can change the course of a season for you.
Mary Kay Cabot on with us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mary Kay, let's talk about David Nelson, too. Just seeing him present was a good thing. He's still coming back from that knee issue that he had. But it sounded, just talking with him after practice, sounded optimistic, but chose to spend time away rehabilitating on his own and feeling comfortable about that process. But now he's back and kind of getting indoctrinated with the Browns and getting to know his teammates.
Well, yeah, that's true. We spent a lot of time talking to David Nelson about this issue today. And I would have to say that if I had my choice, if I were a coach, if I had my choice between a player rehabbing around the facility, being with his teammates, going to meetings, taking mental reps, you know, working with your own trainers here in Berea, you know, standing on the sidelines, watching the offense function, by far, I would always opt for having the player around. But they do call them voluntary OTAs, and he chose to miss the last couple of weeks of those. In addition to working out with his own trainer on the rehab of the ACL, he's also starting up an orphanage in Haiti, which I think is a wonderful thing. Of course, anybody would think that's great, and he's so excited about that. But I think right now his place is with the football team. I mean, after June 6th, these guys have an opportunity to kind of scatter for a while, go do what they need to do, and come back fresh for training camp. But, you know, I think when you sign a free agent, ideally you would like them to be here rehabbing with the team.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with that, although I do think in his case, if it's really limited what he's able to do on the field, and it sounded like that was the case because of this ACL injury, that most of what he was getting was the mental rep side of it. And as he cited, through technology, all these guys are outfitted with iPads and are going through the game plan that way. And yes, I understand what you're looking at on a simulated basis on a tablet device is not the same as maybe witnessing it, watching it when you're out there. But he would be doing a lot of standing around, and maybe that was the bottom line of it all. I guess the bigger question is, do we see the healthy David Nelson when he's fully ready to go? How much of him is part of the red zone offense and all the things that you want to take advantage of with a tall target like that?
He is a very nice tall target. I mean, I think that once he's out there healthy, he's going to be able to bring a lot to the table. He's not just going to be, playing inside. He has the ability to play outside as well. And I think that Brandon Weeden is going to have a much upgraded supporting cast this year in terms of the skill position. Not only does he have new guys like a Devon Bess and a David Nelson, but the existing guys like Josh Gordon and Greg Little have another year under their belt. Even Travis Benjamin, Josh Cooper look really good in this camp. So I think you'll see a much better passing game.
Yeah. On the defensive side of the ball, it's interesting to really focus, I think, on the obvious place, which is cornerback, and seeing how Leon McFadden is fitting into that spot opposite Joe Haden. Looks like he's doing a lot of things that makes this team, you know, or gives this team a reason to feel comfortable that the rookie can get in there. But Chris Owens getting some reps also on that side with his experience, his veteran presence. It'll be interesting to see how ultimately a decision is made there, because you would think on athleticism and just basic, just the basic idea of a younger, faster guy, McFadden has the edge there. But when it comes to know-how, when it comes to savvy, you're looking at a guy like Owens. And then, of course, there's Buster Skrien, who's still a pretty young guy, a very fast athlete, but a very aggressive guy as well. And I'm wondering, through coaching, if the same guy who tends to draw a lot of penalties, Skrien, if that guy can maybe temper that down a little bit.
Well, you know what? I mean, you have to have a lot of faith in Ray Horton's ability, obviously, to coach a secondary and to coach up a young man like a Buster Skrine. Every time we're out there, we see him swatting balls away, making plays on the ball in practice. I still think he has a lot of really great upside potential. And like you said, he isn't afraid to mix it up in there, and he is very, very aggressive. And I think he's got a pretty good short-term memory like you need to have at that position. Leon McFadden still running with the second team. I like the fact that they're making these young guys earn it. Even Barkevious Mingo, he's still with the second team.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. You have to aspire to something. You have to be hungry. You have to want it. And those guys, by the time they get to training camp, are going to want to try to work their way up to being with the first team. So Chris Owens right now, Buster Skrine, both getting some reps with the ones, with Leon not far behind.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of the psychological benefit of that. Earn your way is the clear message. As we look at the safety position, it seems more and more like Tashawn Gibson has settled into kind of a place where I think the team is feeling comfortable about him there. And we still have the incomplete story about Jamorris Slaughter until, with his Achilles injury, he's able to do a lot more or do anything. And I guess we're looking at that more into training camp. But I think with Gibson, it's a nice story playing out of this undrafted rookie free agent from another group of decision makers making a positive impact on this group.
Absolutely. You know, good job by Tayshaun for working his way up from undrafted rookie out of Wyoming, making the team in training camp last year and working his way into now what appears to be the starting role. And, of course, now last year we saw Eric Hag was supposed to be the starting free safety, and it didn't quite work out the way that they hoped it was going to. You hope that that doesn't happen with Tayshaun. I don't think it will. I think he's a little bit more of a polished player. I think he's got tremendous confidence and the swagger that you need at that position. I think he pairs well with T.J. Ward. And, you know, we're seeing him come along and make some plays out here in camp. And Jamorris Slaughter, you know, when you're a sixth-round pick, I don't necessarily think that they're expecting you to start right away anyways. But obviously when you're coming off an injury like that, that's going to be a setback. So if he is going to end up on the field, he's got some catching up to do in training camp.
And Mary Kay, what are your thoughts about the inside linebacker spot in addition to DeQuell Jackson, who clearly looks like he's comfortable in what he's doing there? He talked a little bit about that today after practice as well, just as this defense continues to evolve, the Ray Horton scheme and feeling his comfort level as an inside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. But the spot next to him, you know, looking at some of the other players who are competing there, what are some of the things that have impressed you or not impressed you at that other spot?
Well, I think the first thing that stands out is the fact that Craig Robertson has been in there, you know, most of the time with the ones, you know, alongside DeQuell Jackson. And I think, you know, that's tremendous for Craig. He's another player that, you know, just, you know, went undrafted and, you know, is here, you know, really working his way into what is shaping up to be another starting role. So I think it's great. I think Craig did some good things last year. I think he's got a lot to learn, obviously, but I think he's surrounded by some really good guys. I mean, if you're going to learn the inside linebacker position, you know, why not be next to DeQuell Jackson? That's a really great place to be. And then, of course, there's James Michael Johnson.
Right.
I know he will be vying for time there as well. So, they have some good opportunities. And, you know, when I look at the linebacking core as a whole, you know, I've been very impressed. I mean, you're looking at, outside and inside, you know, some really great talent there.
Yeah, and I think that's the real key to this is you're going to find someone at that other role that's not, you know, this wasn't like a prominent free agent pickup, that there was enough confidence in what was already here to work with for this coaching staff to say, okay, maybe it's a Craig Robertson or a JMJ, maybe it's a combination of those guys. I've sort of gotten the drift that they want to get enough work for multiple people because they'll do a lot of mixing and matching within that front, with DeQuell being more the constant. And then you look at the two outside linebackers with Paul Kruger and Jabal Sheard, but like you mentioned with Barkevious Mingo, yeah, he's working with second unit, but there's other options that you can use within the front seven beyond the base that you can involve. You might be able to involve all three of those outside guys and then various combinations inside. But I like Robertson's just that, like Tashawn Gibson, He's around the ball. He's instinctive. He's aggressive. And you can, when you talk with him too, there's an attitude about him that just gives me a sense that, you know, his head is in the right place to want to show and impress these coaches that he can be the man.
Yeah, I mean, he feels like he belongs. And I think we saw, that when he played last year, he was very, very active. Like you said, around the ball, making big plays. Now, he made some mistakes, and maybe some games didn't grade out as well as he would have liked. But, you're going to have that from a young player. I think in this scheme, in this Ray Horton defense, I think he's really going to shine. And, like you said, they're so good on the outside with, Jabal, Barkevious Mingo, and Paul Kruger. He's just surrounded all the way across the linebacking core with really talented players, so it'll give him an opportunity to, learn along the way, if he needs to, make a mistake here or there. But the other thing is, they're moving all these guys around.
Yes.
I think that we really are going to see the multiple fronts. We're seeing them in practice. And, we can't get super specific on who's playing in what packages.
Right.
But, I think that we're going to see a lot of things that are going to cross up some offenses.
There is a lot of mixing and matching, and we appreciate the time, and we look forward to these next couple of days of practices. Mary Kay, we'll catch up with you again down the line.
Sounds great, Vic. Thanks.
All right. On the Revel Wireless Hotline, she is Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.